From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, Kevin Hayes, and Ryan Spooner. Episode, BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Of course, audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. Go to our website, the Schedule tab, for all the upcoming episodes, past episodes on the archives as well. So without further ado, Ranger Proud, Ranger.Proud on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, at Ranger Proud, and of course, the writer for Elite Sports New York for your New York Rangers. RP, what's going on? How's everything, man?
Hey, Steve, how's it going? Everything's going pretty good here.
Pretty good, bro. Pretty good, man. Ironically, when we were going to do this episode, I didn't have no idea that both guys were going to get signed. So I'm kind of looking forward to the dialogue with you tonight on Hayes and Spooner. So overall, I guess wherever you would like to go. You could go Spooner first, we could go Hayes first. We'll do our pick two teams later, one team from the Western Conference, one team from the Eastern Conference a little bit later, which would today will be the Canucks and the Hurricanes. So, but which New York Ranger would you like to tackle first, man?
You know, we could do the simpler one is Ryan Spooner's contract. He was the last Ranger that needed to be signed. You know, it's a simple contract for him. It was a two-year deal, for Spooner. You know, there's a backlog with centers. I was kind of surprised they gave him a two-year deal, especially after what they did with Hayes. But right now, that's what they wanted to go with. He's a good hockey player. He's been around the league 7 years. Yeah, the Rangers only got a little piece to see what he could do towards the end of the season. So he did put some points up on the board towards the end. So if he can get not into the lineup, but if he can stay in the lineup consistently, he should be able to put some points up for the team.
You said you were surprised that he got the 2 year deal. Why were you surprised that he got the 2 year deal?
I don't really. At the time, I didn't want to go long term. It's the kind of the deal I thought they were going to do with Hayes. To tell you the truth, a little bit more money would have been involved, but I was maybe because I was more still on the Kevin Hayes situation. It's just a little, I don't know. He's a solid hockey player, but in a team that's so backlogged with centers and with the hope that Hedo and Anderson would definitely be able to jump into a more predominant role after their first full season with the Rangers. So meaning next year, you would think they'd be more ready to play and more prepared and experienced. Where would you fit Spooner next year? I mean, there's only four center positions, and the Rangers have like six or seven guys. So I was a little surprised, personally, that that's the contract that they gave him. But, you know, the Rangers have some sort of game plan that a lot of us aren't aware of, and that was the deal they gave him. You know, good for him. It's, what was it? It was a two-year contract for Spooner at $4 million a year. I mean, they gave him an $8 million contract. I thought that was a little hefty. But then again, I thought Brady Shea's contract was a little on the large side. So I don't know. I'm sorry. Yeah. I just got distracted by this Mets score sleep. Sorry.
How they're doing, player, by the way. Let us know. How are they doing, by the way?
Now losing 24-1 in the eighth inning.
You're
and
bullshit.
Jose Reyes
You're bullshit,
is pitching.
24
hits, 24 runs. 24. 2-4-1.
They're losing 24?
And Jose Reyes
wow.
is pitching in the eighth inning and gave up two home runs already. Three run homers. I've lost track. Yeah, it's 24-1. It's
you got it.
I've seen little league teams play better than
I had
that.
No idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no,
wow.
This is pretty bad.
Man, I want to turn the game off. Why are you watching that
put it on
through?
Just to see. I got a tweet that Jose Reyes is actually pitching. I was like, that's got to be interesting. Let me go see what's going on. But I was probably better off leaving on because, I mean, you know, this is just an embarrassment. This is not the way pro baseball should be. But Yeah.
Wow. I had no idea, man. I didn't even ask. It's not like I knew, man. I'm literally in the New York Rangers state of mind right now. Your thoughts, what you said about Ryan Spooner. I mean, they're valid as far as the contract. Like you said, they got a two-year deal with $4 million. See, the Rangers, the situation with the Blue Shirts this season, I'm kind of surprised they put that $4 million on next year. They had money to spend this year. So after I sat back, we'll talk about Kevin Hayes in a little bit because that kind of threw me off for a loop. But then I thought about, well, it's only a one-year deal, whatever, $5 million. And then it's kind of like trade bait. But that's a more of a Kevin Hayes type of conversation after we do with Spooner. But Spooner, like you said, 2 years. $4 million per, but like you said, we got a logjam of centers, Mika Zibanejad, and you're talking about Leah Sanderson, Phil Hito, and then, of course, you add Spooner to the mix with all the other guys, and then Kevin Hayes, of course. I mean, it's a whole bunch of guys. Now, Spooner is kind of one of those guys, like you said before, even in the trade with Rick Nash for Boston midseason, that he's kind of interchangeable. He could play center. If they needed to move him, they'll find him, because he's a smaller type of guy. He's not as physical. Mm-hmm. He's more of a gritty guy. He's kind of not necessarily a skater, but he skates hard. But he's not the smoothest of skaters or fleet on with the ice. But my thing with him, I thought even after the trade with the Boston Bruins, he played well. I thought when he first came on to the Rangers, he had a nice scoring streak. He finished the season with, I believe, 16 points. But He really did start off with the fast start with like 7 points in the first three games, and I thought his best line combination was with Kevin Hayes and Jesper Fast. That's when he accumulated those 7 points in three games. Then there was another stretch of games. It was on the second Florida trip, even though we lost two of those three games. Well, it was two road games in Florida, and then we had the one home game versus the Hurricanes, and we lost two or three to both Florida games. But I thought he played well. He scored 6 points in those. But when he played with Zuccarello and also with Hayes as well, and on those lines for the most part in those games, I thought he was better. It looked better. The fit looked better with Fast and with Hayes, not with Zuccarello, in my opinion. The way I thought he played well, especially on the road. Calgary, Vancouver, and I think Detroit was one of those other games when he first accumulated those points. But I'm not surprised at the signing. I am surprised with that second year with the $4 million, and whatever the Rangers have certain plans. And I think you raised a valid question. Let's really look into this. Is there something we may not know of? Like maybe they're thinking Hito or Anderson is not as ready as they think, and we know that Spooner was coming up against arbitration on August 4th, literally, end of this weekend? So is there something they wanted to get this deal done with him because they saw something with these other things that we don't have? How do you look at that?
You know, I don't know about that because they kind of just gave him a one-year deal, I guess, sort of the way they did it with Kevin Hayes. I mean, this leads you to believe that they're more interested in keeping Spooner than Hayes. And I know some fans have been against that, saying, well, Hayes isn't really playing well, and, you know, $5 million was, $5.175 was too much money for Hayes. I don't understand what fans are looking for. The guy scored goals. He's one of the top penalty killers on the team. He was a 50% face-off man. I just don't know what they're looking for. I'm just a little confused by it. So I don't know what their theory is with Spooner. Something I couldn't really tell you. I expected a 1 year. I knew they were going to go to arbitration. I don't understand the 2 year. I mean, he doesn't have a no trade clause on him, so I guess he could, you know, if they wanted to trade or move him, put him in a package deal, they have a little bit more time with him. But they haven't really released anything, any interviews, just a regular general statement about the trade. So I don't know what they were thinking now.
Yeah, it's real interesting because since he came over from the Bruins, I thought his production, his faceoff was kind of below average. It was all right throughout his tenure since coming into the league in 2012, 2013 with the Bruins. I don't think they look at him maybe we'll give him some time. Maybe just, I don't know, it's spirit of the moment, but his faceoff was really poor as a Ranger. definitely want, if they're going to use him more in that aspect, you gotta get that up definitely for sure, man. But he played good in a couple of stretches and then kind of just faded away. You know what? I think it's one of those situations they see something in him for the short term. They're going to probably use him in the second or third line. But the annual salary is a little surprising. I think the Rangers kind of say, you know what, forget this arbitration stuff. We'll sign him because I think they already had other question marks at the other positions. But it's like you said, man, you're getting a guy who's been in the league six seasons now or whatever, probably going into his seventh season. And his peak is pretty much 55, 60 points. That's what you're going to get out of him. His whole career up until this point, and that's kind of what the Rangers love these type of players. They like guys who are going to get you about 15 goals, 35 assists, get you about 55, 60 points, and that's pretty much what you are. And the Rangers have a whole bunch of those type of guys over the years. So it kind of fits where they want to go with them, but he's going to give you effort. We got to give him that. And I like the short stint with the Rangers. Maybe we could turn up to something, but he's got to improve on certain his short, especially in the faceoff game. He's got to definitely improve. I don't see any other major plans they have with him because it is a kind of more seem like a long term prove it deal. I mean, you got the 1 year, then you got the second year, and then just to say, okay, we're going to see where he is. The Rangers kind of playing it safe. He's going to be 28 by the end of his contract. It really, to me, like I said, RP, I think who you play with. There's some kind of chemistry with Kevin Hayes, man. I think he plays well. He played well with film last year, and I think they kind of feed it off each other. I thought when to complete that line, you added the best, probably one of the better skaters on your team is in Jesper Fast, and that's a guy we talked about a week ago or something like that. So my thing is this, man, if this is the route they're choosing to go to as far as Ryan Spooner, you just hope that he continues to do what he does. He gets you about 15 goals and about 45 points, and you could just live with that. I think it's kind of high for the salary, but I mean, they could have did better as far as pay. I'm not exactly sure why or the logic behind that. It really kind of scratches my head.
Yeah.
And it goes to show, like, what are the plans with the – see, my thing is this, man, and we've talked about this over and over and over again. And the Rangers, the way the team is constructed, the lines in particular – The further you go into the lines, the better they are in the sense of you compare them to other teams in the league. The Rangers' top line, I'm looking at it from a team's perspective when I say this. The top line of the Rangers on paper is probably bottom of the league compared to other top lines. And then you get to your second line, it gets a little bit better. But the third line is kind of like cracks probably the top 15. If you take our talent of players, and whoever it may be on that night, I think they have it'll definitely be top 10, top 15. But then our bottom line, which kind of been a glue piece, has kind of done the job. So if you throw a Spooner, let's say on the third or fourth line, I mean that's a lot of money you're paying them for a fourth liner. But hey, you know, you throw them down there with I don't know, VC or somebody like that. It depends on how they're gonna mix and match the line, man. I mean, that's where I see him. I don't see him ahead of Zibanejad or Hayes or any of the younger guys because you want to see some value out of our top picks.
Oh, I agree. That's why it's just the 1 year I could understand. When they didn't give Hayes at least 2 years, I really didn't think they were gonna give Spooner 2 years. So I was kind of surprised when I saw. And the amount of money, too. But, I mean, you know, right now he probably would be the fourth-line center behind, I guess, you know, Zibanejad, Hayes, and Hedl, if that's how they go, or if they put Anderson at center and put Hedl, or if they put – they have a lot of questions of who they're going to put in those four center spots. And let's not forget, Buniev is just going to get another opportunity to make the team, and he could be bumping people around. So the Rangers have a – I think the Rangers are going to make – some sort of trade prior to opening night and move a center and someone else and maybe get another, you know, maybe a top scorer, not a top scorer, a top six forward, I should say. Because I just don't see how they're going to make all of this work the way it is. There's just a lot of question marks on there.
Is there any particular names, not to say that Ranger Proud or myself are deep in the Rumorville, but is there a particular forward that you're keying on if you want to make that move?
None. I got to tell you, it's a weird situation. It's other than one free agent signing, it's been a real quiet time after the draft. And if the Rangers are going to do anything, obviously at this point it's only going to be trade-wise. But I haven't heard or read or seen anything. Normally, once you get all these free agents that were potentially going to arbitration hearings, now that they're all signed and all, normally in the next 2-3 weeks are quiet in Ranger Town, unless they do make a trade. And right here, they may want to just be stand pat and wait and see what's going on. I mean, we've all heard, you know, before free agency, Kevin Hayes' name was in a lot of trade rumors, and nothing came out of that. Last year, towards the end of the deadline, Zuccarello's name was in a lot of trade rumors, and he's still a Ranger. So I don't quite know if they're going to make any moves now, or maybe they're just going to hold fast, get training camp going, see what they really have in front of them before they decide on the next step. This is all part of the rebuild process.
Uh-huh.
This is what it is. This is how the season's going to go, buddy. This is it.
I have a note that says right here, don't forget the letter. You got to remember, you know, like the magnet on your refrigerator. Don't forget that letter by Gorton, man. The letter, you got to go back to the letter, man. This is a total rebuild.
They have been doing it like that, right. Nothing crazy, not signing any older veterans or big names that might be able to help just for one year. They're holding to their plan. But you know something? The Kevin Hayes deal, which I know we're going to get to next, to me kind of put a little bit of kink in their plan. You know, Kevin Hayes signed, they agreed to terms on a one-year $5.175 million contract. And everyone's like, a lot of people, I should say, were like, it was a little bit too much money. You know, maybe they could have got it a little cheaper. But you have to understand, Hayes was looking for a 5 or 6 year contract in the $5 to $6 million per year range. For whatever reason, Gorton didn't even want to address it or talk about it. And the ramification of that signing, there's a couple of things. So now they have him locked in for this season. The first notable thing is he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year, meaning he could walk away if the Rangers don't trade him or sign him. The other thing is they cannot make him a contract extension, or offer him a contract extension, until January 1st, which is part of the signing a 1 year now before arbitration. That is the downside. That is the negative. You can negotiate and talk, but they couldn't offer him or actually sign him anything until January 1. And now, Steve, here's my question. January 1 comes around, and Kevin Hayes is only 3 months away from an unrestricted free agent run, which is what every player in the league strives to get to. Unless something dramatic happens, I don't know if he would even take an extension. They didn't want to give him a long-term deal now. I don't even know if Gorton would want to offer him a long-term deal in January, because if they did, maybe they would offer him a 2-year sort of a bridge contract so they could have had some time to work it out, and obviously that didn't happen. So now if you have these two strikes against the team already, so now if they don't make an extension or if they don't agree on an extension in January, well, now you got to trade them. So now we're in August.
Well,
we're
I think that all goes back
deadline.
To that, though.
It all goes back to that. So now you're talking about a guy who's done everything the team has wanted. He's pretty much improved every year that he's been a Ranger. He had a career high in goals last year. He had a great time at the faceoff dot. You know, he won 50% of his faceoffs, which you and I talked, is normally that 50 or above is that number that you're shooting for. So I really don't know what the logic is in it. You know, it's just weird. He had 6 power play goals. He had 2 shorthanded goals. He did a lot that the team asked of him to do and more. You know, people are saying he's not scoring a lot. He's not a 50-goal scorer. He's not a 40-goal scorer. But you want to know something? He's your number two center. He could be your number one center. You know, Zibanejad has to get a full season in. He keeps getting injured, and hopefully this year, that this is the year that he does. But aside from that, I don't know how much more you could be looking for out of Hayes on a team that didn't make the playoffs and that spiraled down last year. He had a fairly good season. So now you have to worry about unrestricted free agency. what are we going to get? The whole league knows that he's going to have to get traded. And let's not forget, now you have two players who are UFAs, and the other one's in Matt Zuccarello. This is not where the Rangers wanted to be in the rebuild. I would have thought they wanted to be in a state when they didn't have to worry about long-term contracts or short-term contracts and just focus on what's on the ice and what's going on, and now we're away from that. And the organization just did not want to give Hayes a contract when other players in his range of points and age were getting that numbers. I mean, that was just the going rate right now. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens during the year. I mean, it could look great. Hayes could have a really off year, and everyone like, oh, good thing we didn't give him a five-year deal. Or he could be on pace for another 20, 25-goal season where he was last year, and then he might not even want to be talking about an extension. So the Rangers put their backs against the wall, I feel.
I don't think they're in a bad position, as like what a lot of Ranger fans have said. I think looking at his production over the last four seasons, they've gone up for the most part overall in most key categories. His points are pretty much where they are since 2014. But, you know, he scored the most goals out of the four seasons. Assists are down, but the goals went up. And so it's like when the team was really shot or where they didn't have anything pretty much around them, maybe through injury or just out of the hunt, he kind of held his own offensively, and he put up a career high in goals. I got to give him that. I thought also even his face-offs, as much Ranger fans that kill him on his face-offs, I think that's a lot of reputation talk because he was better last year. He definitely delivered on the faceoff last year. So I think a lot of fans probably look at it how he was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, on how bad it was, losing faceoffs and turnovers in the zone, stuff like that. But there's other things I definitely like. This is the most time he's played on the ice. I like the fact that he showed a lot of durability. They gave him a lot of time. Although the hits were down this year or the last couple of seasons with him, I thought was interesting, his production was the same, but defensively, as much as time he played on the ice, he played the most time in the defensive zone out of the four years. And what I'm trying to say is he scored the most goals. He scored 25 goals this year, but of all the time on the ice, 63% of the time he was in the defensive zone. So I think there's some efficiency that the Rangers are looking at, that there's some upside and maybe potential deal, because they already know that this team isn't built for a Stanley Cup this year. Maybe if all the pieces fall right, they might get a second wild card spot. They might contend if everybody stays healthy and they play hard. You never know. Clean up some defense. I think he'll be a key to the defensive part as far as a big center, as a big frame out there. I also believe that if everything falls right and they play their cards right and they're talking total rebuild, we got to go back to the – we're going to call the Jeff Gordon letter, we're going to call it the refrigerator magnet. That's what it is, the refrigerator magnet. We got to refer to the refrigerator magnet because, like you said, if it's a one-year deal and they don't extend that thing, he'd be. And I think that was – you put up a great question about a month ago. Who's the better – who would you rather trade, or was it? Rather trade, is it Zuccarello or Hayes? I thought Hayes had the most upside because you could get more back from him. He's younger. He's showing improvement, where Zuccarello kind of more on the downside of things. You know what I'm saying? So I thought Hayes, for the last couple of seasons, all the stats, his efficiencies has gone up. He had the best season of his career last year, offensively and defensively. Face-off percentage at 50%. It's really not – a lot of fans will kill him, and he does some things it's not as loose as what it was last year. I thought he played a good game. He played a good game in a lot of stretches of last season. I think Rangers fans kill him more for what it is despite the circumstances. So what I'm trying to say is this. The one-year deal for $5 million, I can live with it because the Rangers had a gang of cash space. They knew the team. A lot of fans realistically should know the team's not going nowhere because some fans believe that it's cup or bust every year, and that's just not realistic. So
Right.
I look at it like this. If the season is bad, but his play is still as up as 17, 18, he's good trade bait. We'll get some good picks from him or picks out of him for a contender. And he's at a 25-year-old age, going to be on 26. So I think this is good for the Rangers that they did it like this. You know what I'm saying? And then it goes back to your point, what you've been saying for several weeks. We have so many centers, so everybody can't get a long-term deal as centers. You got Spooner at a 2-year deal. You got Hayes at a 1-year deal. So somebody's going to be gone at one point, or a couple of guys, because you got to make room for the young guys for the future. You're kind of breaking them all in at the same time. It seems like a logjam, but I think this is the best way to go about it, depending on how the season goes. Even if the season goes, he could still be trade bait. I don't think they're going to let him walk. You don't let somebody production go up steadily and then not. I'm just saying, I don't think so. But
it wouldn't be a walk. Your problem is going to be if you don't sign him right away in January, then you have to start to move him, because the longer you wait to the trade deadline, the less you're going to get, because teams know you got to get rid of him. See, that's the problem with Hayes right now. The league all around is going to know, well, if the Rangers can't sign him in January and they got to wait to January, well, then they got to move him and you're going to get less for him. If they were this concerned with not signing him long term, then it should have traded him last year. I think you lose value now. I think the league all around knows, hey, the Rangers have to make something with him if they don't trade him. They're going to have to move him. What are we going to give him? Another first-round draft pick? And I'm not saying that's not valuable, but you need also to get players on the ice now, too. And they could have probably gotten more for him if they would have moved him last year, if they weren't convinced that they were going to not be able to sign him long-term. I mean, they had to know way before this week what his value was as a player compared to other players in the same area, in the same range. So they had to know he was going to be a $5 or $6 million guy for $5 million a year in 5-year range. So that was a little confusing. And then if you look at other moves they made, Steve, you talk about not convinced that Hayes is the guy and should get the money, and Hayes is only 26 years old. And then they go and they sign Brady Shea, who's 24 years old, who's had a real lackluster year last year, and they give him $5.2 million for the next 5 years. The next 6 years, excuse me. So they're high on Shea, but they're not high on Hayes. That's what I just think it came down to. I mean, I thought the Shea contract was a little high. I mean, they gave him a huge contract. He really hasn't done anything yet. Production-wise, he hasn't stepped up yet, though we keep talking about it. Now you just put all your eggs in that basket. So it is a little confusing, just the mindset of the organization from a Kevin Hayes to a Brady Shea. Now, we all know that I like Brady Shea. I would hope that he'd be able to come out and do all the good things that we've seen him done. But on the flip side to that, that's a big contract if you're still not 100% sure. I mean, 6 years, he's going to be, what, 32 years old when it's contracted up and an unrestricted free agent. Yeah, 30, excuse me. It's a big, you know, to me, I thought it was just a little unusual. But like we said, we don't know what they're thinking. We don't know what their mindset is. Obviously, there is a lack of faith in Hayes. And he probably knows that, too, because they couldn't even come close to what they wanted to do.
I have a two-part question for you. Let me ask you this. Do you think the Rangers were bidding against arbitration with a lot of these guys that they're signing? If some of these guys were coming up to arbitration, do you think they, because they had the money to pay these guys, they knew they weren't getting a high price free agent? Do you think a lot of it has to do with just rushing to get guys signed for these short, for the most part, some of these guys for a quick deal outside of Brady Shea? Do you think that the arbitration situation with some of these guys and giving them a lot? To me, this is a lot of money for guys who aren't as productive as other quality players in the league. So it kind of scratches my head in the sense of if you, my thing is business wise, because if I look at it from a future player, if the Rangers were to try to acquire a future player and they'd be like, well, I was more productive than this guy and you're paying him $5.5 million, so how come you can't give me $6.5 million? And the Rangers kind of play hardball with a guy who's had probably better production than some of the guys that we're playing, and then we lose out on the guy because we're outbidding ourselves and with the current guys. I mean, that's kind of how the game is played with buyer-demand, production. So I guess what the question is with this arbitration stuff with some of these guys that we're signing off and then we're paying, or even if it's just one-year deals, like $5 million? I mean, did we really have to pay that much is what I'm trying to say. Business-wise, is this
well,
when other players look at it, other NHL agents look at this, does this hurt?
Well, you want to know, arbitration, yes, they filed out, but the Rangers knew their contract situation when April came. When the season ended,
yeah. They
all knew and had an idea of what these players would do. So I don't think arbitration necessarily rushed it. The Rangers could have re-signed any of these players well before they all filed for, you know, offer them restricted free agency status and the salary arbitration and so forth. So I don't think that's the case at all. I just think there's a game plan within the organization. They felt more comfortable offering Shea more years and more money. And for whatever reason with Hayes, they didn't. Now, maybe you're right. Maybe they're saying, well, let's see what we get with, you know, Nemstinkov, Hedl, Anderson. Maybe we can get something and trade Hayes. There were a lot of people who wanted him last year, and not last year, excuse me, after the season ended this year. His name was up on a lot of trade talks and all. So maybe that's the Rangers' game plan all along, is they move him. And we just don't know that. You don't know. Remember, still a gamble for another team to take him because he's still a UFA at the end of the season now. So someone who does trade for him is probably hoping that they'll get more than just a rental player out of, you know, a rental player status out of it. But we won't know until the trade happens. But I don't think the arbitration process put more heat on the team than if there wasn't an arbitration hearing coming up. I mean, the Rangers have only gone to an arbitration hearing, I think it was twice since like 2013 or something like that. It doesn't happen often with the Rangers because they know all along, where they have an idea of what they're going to offer if it can't work out, and that's what happened with Hayes. So there's no real great mentality to this. Obviously, the organization has a game plan. We don't know what it is. And they feel comfortable offering Spooner a two-year deal at $8 million and Shea's meal is a deal, I should say, at $30 million. And for Hayes, they got what they got out of it. They'll pay him his $5 million, whatever it is, and then they'll probably try to move him prior to then. Them doing this now leads me to believe that they're probably not going to offer him an extension because they had plenty of time to offer him a long-term deal and they didn't want to. So I don't see how going to change.
That could be the case.
I don't know how much it's going to change, but when opening faceoff starts in October, you have October, November, and December. Mm-hmm. You have 3 months before. How many goals is Hayes going to have that really change their mind? Maybe he won't have enough goals. And if he does have a lot of goals,
he would
when
have to have,
team, you know, something.
For his value, he would have, you said in 3 months, so October, November, December, he would need to have at least 11 to 12
okay, so let's
goals.
Put it this way. If he has 12 goals, let's just make it even an easier number. If he has 15 goals in January, why would he even think of re-signing with the Rangers?
Unless they're going to offer him
the 6-year deal that they didn't want to give him now. Otherwise, Hayes at 26 years old is going to say, you know something? I want to go to unrestricted free agency now. Someone's going to sign me these big numbers that I want. Obviously, you didn't have the faith
unless
in me to do it. So now I'm going to wait. Now, he could re-sign with the Rangers after that. Let's remember, he could become an unrestricted free agent, get some offers, and then see if the Rangers want to match or do something like that. It's not to say it's a total loss. It just changes the whole perception of the refrigerator note right now. It puts a lot more onto it, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, and I agree with you, if it gets to a point and the Rangers look like they're up and down by January, but his production is at 15 goals, that would probably be, his value would be more than what it is now. He will be traded and we'll get things back. We'll get players back for him. So I think that actually works out. Like I said, that will work out in the Rangers' favor long term as far as acquiring somebody at a different position. It could be another winger, maybe a stay-at-home defenseman. It could be a whole couple of things. if that production is at that level. That is actually the peak. I don't think it's going to be that high, but that would be a great case scenario. Because I don't think he's not one of those guys that's going to be the, like you said, 40 goal kind of scorer. That's just not him. 30, you know, he might make 30. I mean, he got the 25, but I just don't see that in him in particular. But you make a lot of great points as far as how they're going to play. The Rangers could play. I'm with you on that. I think on the Rangers end, they're playing it right. I think they're playing it right. But the other side I wanted to bring up, I forgot to tell you. Well, you already know, is the fan side. I mean, we're fans. Me, you, we're fans, and I saw the fan reaction. I saw it on your page. They went nuts. I went nuts.
Yeah.
5 million, because it's not necessarily the 1 year. It's kind of the 5 mil deal, because a lot of Ranger fans really, really believe that we still overpay for players that are – they're overcompensating for players that are not – they're good, but they're not that good. They're not 5 million per year good, even if it is 1 year deals. And a lot of Ranger fans don't like that. And they have not – they don't have faith in the management, regardless if this is a rebuilding year. So I guess it goes back to my question. Let me ask you this: now that we have him for just 1 year, how just on a fan level, RP, like, how do you feel about Ryan Spooner and Kevin Hayes just coming back into this year and just how they will do it? Do you feel optimistic of they're going to surpass their production from last year? What's your thoughts?
I think Hayes is going to have a good season. I think now he's going to want to prove everybody wrong that he is worth the money and a bigger contract that he didn't get. So I think he's going to have to work hard, but he always works hard. I just think the conception or the misconception of Hayes is everyone just thinks he's a 40-goal scorer, and that's just not what his game is. Doesn't mean that he's not worth the money that he's asking for. And the only thing you can compare that to is other players at his level in the NHL, and that's the number that they're getting. So if the Rangers don't want to pay, he's going to find it elsewhere. So my problem is, what happens if you come to January and Anderson and Heidel aren't playing well? And they're not scoring goals. I mean, they're still kids playing in a men's league. Let's be realistic. They're 19 years old. They haven't played an 82-game season in the National Hockey League. I'm not saying they're going to be doing bad, but are they going to be putting up the numbers? We don't know.
I don't know.
You hope Anderson's scoring a lot of goals. But you don't know. And look, this other thing that I said last week, how they may put Anderson on the wing. Maybe they don't. Now, what happens if they don't put Anderson on the wing and they put either Heidel or Anderson as the fourth-line centers? Well, now you can't expect them to be scoring those points on the fourth line either. So now you kind of ticked off Hayes, or you didn't get
Well, you said Heidel and Anderson, Hayes. Then where does Spooner go then? You said Heidel
well,
and Anderson
that's
on
what
the fourth line center.
This is what I'm talking about. We don't know now. In September, we will have a better idea. But today, we don't know what their game plan is. And if you talk about where do you put Spooner, if you don't put Nemtsov on the wing, what do you do with him? And now, does that mean that Buniev sits in the minors another wasted year? Maybe they're thinking of trading him. There's got to be something, an idea, I should say, that the organization has with these centers, because they can get some value out of it. You can get a top six forward coming to the lineup. You might be able to get a scoring defenseman coming, depending on who you're trading with. There has to be an idea, obviously, that we're not all aware of, but that's what's going on. Because they have too many parts and too many pieces to a puzzle not to make the move to make the team stronger, whether it's trading Hayes or Buniev or even Spooner. You know, you signed Spooner 2 years before me. It doesn't mean you got to keep him either. So
that's true.
We don't know what the game plan is. Maybe they put Anderson on the wing and it doesn't work out. Maybe he's not comfortable on the wing. There's too many ifs, you know. It's just too early to know. The only thing that we do know is what you can read every day. They didn't want to give Hayes the big contract. They have a lot of faith in Brady Shea. Everyone thinks they kind of overpaid Ryan Spooner, so we don't know what that. And they have about three more centers than they really need. So it's going to be a real interesting September. I don't think much is going to happen unless something surprising, you know, should come up. I don't think a lot is going to happen now. But we're just going to have to wait. You know, and then you look, Steve, in the minors, what they have. Vinny Leterrier can play center and wing. And, of course, Elias Anderson can. You got Brett Howden, who's a center. So they have centers down there. And they're going to have to decide what they want to do with all these guys. because they're really backlogged in defensive position. So they can make some moves to make the team stronger. You're just going to have to wait and see which direction they go. You know, they might want to say, you know something, this is what we're going to start out with in October. Let's see where we are 6 weeks later. It's going to take all these players time, especially if you're putting centers on wings and moving players around where they're not as comfortable. You can't just give them 2 weeks and say, oh, well, it didn't work. It's going to take longer than that. It's a new coaching staff with a new system. There's a lot going on in Rangertown right now. So I think they're going to just stay fast and see where we go.
Without a doubt. So let me ask you this. On Kevin Hayes and Ryan Spooner, point production, if we give them measurables, what would constitute a good season? You said 15. Okay, you did say 15 goals by January. That's a lot,
but he had 25. But he did have 25 at the end of the season. So if he had 15 in January, and even you said maybe he can get 30. January, February, March, and April, he's got 4 months to score 15 goals. That means he scored 15 goals in a 4 months before.
If he can maintain a face-off rate of at least 50%, that's a good thing. What other things,
huge,
like other areas you like to see? What about, absolutely.
On Hayes?
What other things you think? Other areas of his game.
Well, you know, he's going to have to be there. He's going to have to get in the assists. And he's still one of the top penalty-killing guys. Hayes is the all-around player. I'm not saying he's the great scoring all-around player. But when you talk about a guy that can play all three zones and penalty-killing, power play, scoring, face-offs, these are the numbers these guys put up year to year consistently. 25, 28 goals, 40 assists, 35 assists. You know, in that ballpark, Hayes is capable of doing it. Now, does this leave a sour taste in his mouth? You don't know. I think the players are going to be much more – they're going to have the capability to be playing a little bit more open, a little bit more free on the Quinn than they did on the AZ, which will favor everybody on the team, especially Hayes. So I'm looking for him to maintain what he did last season. Spooner is a different characteristic. You know, Spooner averages a half a point a game, believe it or not, when he plays. He doesn't play a lot of minutes.
Yeah,
he's the problem.
He's
only down on the foot. But he puts points up when he's out on the ice. You know,
right.
I mean, he played 253 games in Boston, and he scored 41 goals. He had 142 points. Those aren't bad numbers. 41 and 101 assists in 6 years, that's pretty good. So,
not bad.
You know, Spooner
isn't
a slouch. It's not bad. We didn't get a good example of what he can do. He played 20 games for the Rangers, and he had 16 points. That's not bad. On a team that was really spiraling, he came to a team that was in a total disarray when he got traded from Rick Nash. So I'm very interested to see what he can do. You know, he's only had a 50% or better faceoff percentage once in his career. So he's not a one out of two faceoff guy. He's more in the 45-43% range, which is where a lot of the Rangers are in past seasons. So I'd like to see what he can do in a full season. I'm not mocking Spooner. I just thought the second year at $4 million was just a little unusual. I don't know why, but like I said,
understand
maybe
that.
Maybe they are planning on moving Hayes and maybe Buniyevs, and then they want to have. Then they would have in the center what? Zibanejad, Anderson, and Hedo, depending on where they play them, and Nemtsikov, plus Brian Hallett down in there that are in the minors that may come up in another year or so. So maybe they're just planning to make a move, and this is how they sort of solidify it. And once again, they can trade Ryan Spooner and whatever they want. He doesn't have a no-move clause or anything. He's 26 years old, so he's always the potential to get moved if it doesn't work out. A little bit high price for a fourth-line center, yeah, but it's not the first time the Rangers have overpaid.
Right. But you know what? At the same time, he's an upgrade over Desjardins from last season. So actually, for the short term.
Oh, Spooner, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I agree with
I'm
that.
I'm liking.
Yeah.
I don't like the top half of the top six that we're throwing out on a day in, day out. Some of these guys are fan favorite type of players, but if we're really going to be realistic, they're not. They're probably, like I said, like I think our bottom half of the line are going to help compete because there's no slouches, but there's some good pieces there, because I think one of the centers is going to have to play wing, because it's a numbers game. Like, we've been kind of dancing around. Well, me and both of you, we're saying that five centers.
I think you're going to have two that are going to play the wing. I think Anderson's going to have to play the wing if they keep him on, and I think Nemtsov is going to have to play the wing. I don't know whether they're going to put him if they don't.
He's definitely a winger.
I have no doubt. And if Hayes stays in the lineup, which now
he's a center,
is in the lineup, Anderson's got to play the wing then, or Heidel, whichever way they want to go with it. I would think they would.
Or Heidel, either
he's
or
a little bit bigger.
It's going to be one of those two.
The way it looks right now, what do you got? Zibanejad, Hayes, Heidel, and Spooner are your four centers. If we're right,
let me ask you this. You got me thinking about something, because it goes back to my point. What I said earlier on this episode, is there a way we can see, because I thought their production of Spooner, Hayes, and Fast, and those in particular, I thought they showed a lot of chemistry, and I thought our scoring went up when those guys were in the same line, on the same line. But to make that happen, that has to be a second-tier line, right? I mean, or what did you put that as a third-tier line? Like, how would you mix and match the combos? If I was to give you Spooner, Hayes, and Jesper Fast, who would the other guys you would pair up, and where do you put them on the second line or the third line? I know that's kind of a loaded question, but I would like that combo.
If you're going to put Spooner, Hayes, and Jesper Fast, then either Hayes or Spooner are in centering, because Hayes and Spooner are both the center. So now you're putting a third center.
Spooner played the wing.
Well, now what you could do then is you could put Spooner, Hayes, as Fast as one line, but then I would take Cody McLeod out of the lineup and put another one of our wingers on. You know, maybe you bring up a Vinny Leterrier, or I don't think a Ty Ronning or a Sean Day are going to make the team, but then if you're going to put Spooner and Hayes and Fast, you're not looking for that tough fourth line. You're looking for what we've had the past couple of years. And I would take Cody McLeod off the line and bring up another forward who can put the puck in the net. I like Vinny Leterrier. He had a lot of shots. He played with a lot of hustle. So you might bring him up.
He's fun to watch.
It's not, you know, definite, but that's what I would do then. That would mean that you're going with four lines. You're not going with that hard-hitting fourth line. You're going with a scoring fourth line, whereas, or a hard skating line, or a kind of line that'll keep the opposition out of your end. So, you know, then you have some other options that you might want to play around with forward-wise, depending on who makes the team. But I could see that happening if that's the route they wanted to go. It all depends the style of player David Quinn wants out there, which is another kind of we don't know because we haven't seen
what
we haven't seen what lineup does he want to go with. Does he want to go hard at fourth line, you know, a hard-fighting fourth line? Or does he want to go with AV, had done the last couple of years, which is a line that could score goals for you and play defense? And that'll make your decisions for your lineup a little bit different, too. So
that
remember,
is a great
last
question.
Year,
good point.
Probably last year and the year before, the Rangers, we always said, didn't really have a first line, second line, third line, a fourth line. Any line can more or less start a play. I don't know if they're going to keep that same setup. I would think they would, at least in the beginning, and then see if they need to bring a tough guy to reshape your so-called fourth line. It also depends how the other players do. And it really depends if the Rangers decide to make a trade or not before training camp. There's always a chance, but August is a weird month. Normally free agency quiets down. All the arbitration hearings are over by August 4th. So you know what you got here. You're going to be looking to move players. Not too many players went to arbitration. So you don't know, you're thinking what you're forming. I'm sure David Quinn has an idea of what his lines he's hoping he's going to be able to see on the ice. And sure, he's looking for that one surprise that comes out of training camp. You know, last year, Heidel made the team, and years past, Anthony Duclair made the team. So you don't know who's going to really surprise you that he's going to at least make you think, maybe I change my lineup and I keep Leterrier up. Or maybe Sean Day has an incredible run and he can finally, you know, make it for a couple of games or for a month to see what he can do. Very doubtful, but always a possibility. The same with Ty Ronnie, an incredible year last year. But that was in the WHL and the AA, hasn't been up in the NHL. So you don't know how they want to, you know, mold this team, other than the top six forwards, there aren't a lot of room for a lot of surprises. There really isn't. You pretty much know for sure of 9 definite guys that are going to be up on this team. Probably 10.
Right.
Unless Hayes gets moved.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as we're playing with all this, it's really hard to answer your question because I don't know which way they want to turn. And, you know, you always like to get that little surprise in training camp, which you kind of look forward to. And I think Anderson and Heidel, now they're coming into training camp, they know, well, they should anticipate that they're going to make the team unless something surprisingly happens. And all eyes are going to be on them, too, because they are the future.
Right. Let's talk real quick before we get off, and then we'll go back and wrap up with our own team. But let's talk about our pick two tonight, the Canucks and the Carolina Hurricanes. I want to start with the Canucks because they're a team, they're totally in transition, as you already know. And we saw the Sedin twins. They had a hell of a ceremony in their last game up there in Vancouver. But they're a total rebuild job. And I know they added a couple small pieces, you know, like Jay Beagle to their fourth line from the Capitals. But I don't know. They have an exciting player by the name of Brock Boeser. I know you've seen him play. He's very exciting. I know he's coming off that with a fractured back. But the guy can score, one of the best young scorers in the game. If there's anything about the Vancouver Canucks, because since their time reaching the finals with AV back in 2010 versus the Bruins, man, I mean, they had a little bit of success. They won a couple of division championships, but the last about 3 years, they really can't get out of that bottom of that division, man. I mean, how do you see the Canucks? And then also, what about the Carolina Hurricanes, man, which I think they made some excellent moves in this offseason with their draft and also the trade with Calgary, adding Doug Hamilton to the defensive lineman. I think they got an underrated team. But what's your thoughts on the Canucks and the Hurricanes?
The Canucks underrated team, you know, going into their first season without the Sundin twins is going to be big for them. A lot of points they're not going to be able to pick up now that they put that over there so long. They have a young team. I don't know if they're will be able to make up enough points to jump into the playoffs. You know, they're a weird team because I don't follow them like day to day. I mean, I know they have, you know, Michael Delzato, who was an ex-Ranger. And net, they're pretty strong with Markstrom. But like you said, the past couple of years, they couldn't get out of their own way. I think they're a little bit against the eight ball. They're young. They're younger. They have a lot of speed, but they don't have that big name pulling them along either. So they're not in the same spot as where the Rangers are, rebuilding-wise, but I just don't know what kind of team they're going to have coming out. They always have a – they're just in a tough division. Let's be realistic. They're
in
a tough – the West – yeah, I mean, they just have a tough division, excuse me, or – for them to battle, there's so much against them. I mean, when you look at their numbers last year, I mean, they only had 73 points, and the first playoff team was at 95. The wild card teams, Colorado and Los Angeles, were 95 and 98. You're looking for 73, 83. You're looking for like 10 more wins for them to make the playoffs from what they had last year. I don't know if they're 10 wins better. The Hurricanes, I know you love. The Hurricanes are going to have a decent season. I'm just taking a look at their numbers.
I'm almost looking
from,
at them like Columbus. Remember how I used to be big on Columbus?
Yeah.
Remember how I was big on the Blue Jackets 2 years ago? I'm kind of seeing that with them. I think they really, their draft and their trade, especially with Calgary, and pretty much on, was it back in June, around June 23rd, with Doug Hamilton and Michael Ferland, Adam Fox. Then they gave up Hannafin and Elias Lindholm. But I really, really like what they're doing. And, of course, they brought on Trevor Van Riemsdyk as well. And I think Sebastian Aho, the guy is a scoring machine, and that's why I said if the Rangers was ever to trade, now I think we shouldn't trade for those Asian veteran type of guys, If you could get somebody who's young like that, I would throw a lot of bodies at Sebastian Aho. That guy could do it all, man. I mean, the guy. There was one game when we played them. You probably don't remember you probably remember the game, but one of the times we went to Carolina in Raleigh, where they were on the power play. We were up 3-2 in the third period, and they were on the power play. I mean, he launched a laser from the blue line. I mean, this dude could do it all. He has amazing body control and transition. I mean, his back could be at the blue line, stay on side, and retrieve the puck and then make a quick pivot, and all in one motion. It's sick. He's very light with his hockey stick. He could beat you with 3 to 4 moves at the net. You don't know where it's coming. He has a backhand that set ups the forehand. He has a slap shot is just a rifle, man. He can go 5-hole on you, top shelf corner, near side. He's a dangerous scorer. And he could pass. Even if he's onside, gets past the blue line, he could definitely lead. He could shoot, do the lead pass and lead a guy crashing towards the net, man. And that goal, I remember that goal vividly. This is before the Miller trade, so I remember Stahl was on the ice, McDonough, JT Miller, and Zibanejad were on the penalty kill. And that guy, the rifle is amazing, man, just the shots. And then you already know the veterans they got, Jordan Stahl, Justin Williams, Jeff Skinner. Jeff Skinner's a very good player as well, man. I mean, I think they got nice pieces, man. But really with this team, I know Cam Ward has moved on to the what's that team? Chicago Blackhawks. But their defenseman is stacked, man. I thought they got very good. Their top six guys defensively, DeHaan, Dougie Hamilton, Brett Pesch. They have quality defensemen that's going to really keep them in a lot of games. Because they could get the scoring out of Justin. You already know about Justin Williams, a longtime player, Stanley Cup champion, Jordan Stahl, Mike Ferland. They got some good pieces, man. You don't think they're a threat in the division, though, do you?
Say that one more time.
Do you think they're a threat?
I don't think they're a threat now. I love Aho, as you were saying, but he was their top scorer last year. I do not see Carolina letting him go, not if they want to keep getting better as they have been. I mean, he had an incredible season last year, point-wise. 8 power play goals, 16
man.
Power play points, 65 points, and 29-36 goals and assists. They'd be out of their mind to trade him for anybody if they want to start, you know, getting back to where they were years ago. So as great as he is, I don't see us getting a 21-year-old, but I still think they're missing a couple of pieces before they can jump up. But you want to know something? They'll be a fun team to watch, a real fun team to watch.
Without a doubt, man. Final thoughts from you, RP, on our episode with Hayes and Spooner and everything else, anything other articles you got coming. We've got about a minute and a half left.
You got me on Facebook at Ranger Proud, Twitter at Ranger Proud, Instagram is Ranger.Proud. I write for the Rangers Division of Elite Sports New York. Share the articles. I appreciate everyone reading. I appreciate all their feedback. And this is the slow time now. This month's going to be a little on the slow side before we get back into it, but I'll keep posting whatever I find on my Facebook and Twitter pages.
Right. Which two players we got next week? Which guys you want to do next week we haven't discussed yet?
Oh, there's a good question. I don't want to go with VT. If you like VT. Let's go with Mark Stahl. Oh, no, I did Mark Stahl already. I want to go with a defenseman.
Yeah.
How about we go with Rob O'Gara, the guy we don't know a lot about. We can go with Rob O'Gara and Zuccarello. I'm speaking about.
Oh, nice one, Zoo. All right, I'll put in two teams. Let's go Sabres and let's go to Winnipeg Jets. I like that.
Okay.
Nice team who went real deep into the Western Conference last year. Sabres and Jets. One team that's really starting from the bottom, and a team that's pretty much knocking on the door. So. All right, Ranger Proud, Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram. Follow his articles, of course, on Elite Sports New York. And, of course, Ranger Proud, the fan page, is a fun page, man. Go on Facebook and follow, man. Great discussion. You want to see Ranger Town go ballistic over a 1-year deal for $5 million? Check out Ranger Proud, the fan page. RP, Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Blee blue, 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 blee blue.